Chapter 27.
Ben awoke.
He felt the familiar softness of ships, gel-cushioned floor beneath his aching body, and his temples pounding with the after-effects of anesthetic gas, the same gas that filled the passenger cabin every time he tried to free himself. As was his practice, he lay motionless, waiting for the fog to clear, trying to take stock of his circumstances. His hands remained behind him, secured by the same pair of stun cuffs that he had been trying to open when the gas had last come hissing from circulation vents. Judging by the numb ache in his shoulders, his arms had been folded under his back without moving for quite some time, and his tongue felt swollen with thirst. Clearly, this time he had been unconscious longer than a normal sleep cycle, for at least 24 hours, maybe even 48. The muffled rumble of a battle was reverberating up through the floor beneath the ship, and occasionally the entire hull would shudder with the force of an explosion that was either very close or very powerful. If Ben listened carefully, he could even hear the distant screech of blasters, though the sound was so faint it might have been nothing more than wishful thinking.
Don't make me use the gas again.
The words came to Ben inside his mind, as dark and full of menace as always.
You need to see what is about to happen.
I need water,
Ben croaked.
How long was I out that time?
Long enough.
Ship never gave information to its captives, but Ben always tried anyway. Sometimes he learned more about what ship attempted to conceal than what he would have from a direct answer.
Sit up.
Ben raised his legs and rocked upright. A tube dropped down from the ceiling of the passenger compartment and stopped in front of his face. He leaned forward and began to drink. The water was so warm and rank that it tasted foul even to someone as thirsty as he was, but he forced himself to continue. Ship could poison him at will by flooding the cabin with noxious gas, so the bad taste was probably no more than a minor cruelty. And if Ben hoped to recover his strength and escape, he needed to drink. No sooner had the thought flashed through Ben's mind than the tube retracted into the ceiling.
Have you not yet learned that there is no escape? Not from Avaloth.
A section of hull grew transparent, and Ben saw that Ship was sitting in the formal reception hall just off pinnacle platform. Designed to impress, the hall was an immense cavernous chamber with alabaster walls and a white marmalstone floor. With a sweeping view across Fellowship Plaza, it had once been used by the Jedi Council to receive the temple's most distinguished visitors. At present, however, it was filled with blast rubble, gray fumes, and a small band of weary-looking Sith. Avaloth was here too. She was standing in the wreckage of the hall's grand entry, facing out toward the landing deck between a pair of laser cannon emplacements. At the ends of her upraised arms, her tentacles writhed in the air, as though she were using them to stir the smoke that was swirling over Fellowship Plaza. Even with her back to him, Ben could see that she was looking toward the distant cylinder of the Galactic Justice Center. Her attention did not waver as a trio of blast boats came roaring toward the platform, their nose guns flashing as they strafed the deck. The cannon emplacements returned fire immediately. The leading blast boat lost an engine mount, then spiraled out of sight behind the balustrade. A couple of seconds later, Ben felt the sudden rip of half a dozen lives being torn from the Force, and a boiling cloud of smoke and flame rose into view. By then, the remaining two blast boats were crossing the balustrade 7 meters above the deck and decelerating hard. Streamers of smoke trailed beneath their bellies as they poured rocket fire into the Sith laser cannons. Both emplacements vanished into balls of orange flame, and Ben thought for a moment that the boats would stop and begin to disgorge space marines. No such luck.